Well, welcome to our podcast. Today we're talking about something that sounds a little unusual at first, emotional attachment in public services. And before anyone imagines we're arguing that every doctor, planner or social worker should become everybody's best friend, that's not really what we mean, is it, Tim?
No, this is really about whether systems we've built still remember they're supposed to serve people. It's a conversation about humanity in an age of efficiency.
Okay, now there's the phrase we've all heard, the computer says no. And it started as a comedy sketch, but actually it has become shorthand for something quite a lot bigger, hasn't it?
Yes, it captures that feeling of arguing with a system instead of talking to a person. You know your circumstances are unusual, but the answer is simply the rules don't allow it.
Yeah, how often have we come across that? And it's worrying because it's not just about customer service. It seems to be happening in healthcare, planning, education, social care. Almost every public service seems to have the sort of, oh, well, no, we can't do that because of the rules, or the computer says no, basically.
We seem to have become incredibly good at designing systems that organise people, but not necessarily systems that understand them.
No, I think that's right. I think there is a lot to be said for making people who design whatever the system is, whether it is, I don't know, hospital admissions or whatever, to actually experience the thing a few times first and then work out what the system should be. It used to be called, putting the customer first, thinking about the customer experience. So let's start with healthcare. I mean, on paper, if you think about it, modern healthcare is astonishing. Incredible technology, sophisticated diagnostics, treatments that would have seemed impossible, really, even perhaps when we were children, certainly even a generation ago.
Yes, I mean, yet many patients still come away saying they didn't feel they were listened to.
Yeah, right. I mean, you can receive excellent clinical care, but still feel like you're invisible. There's supposed to be this thing about no decision about me without me, isn't there? But
yes, and because medicine isn't only about biology, the most important thing, I think, it's still about relationships, people with people.
Yeah, I think that is right. And, it's interesting that research backs that up, because patients who feel heard often have better outcomes. And also patients who see the same GP each time get better outcomes as well. Not because the medication changes, but because trust changes everything.
You're absolutely right. Trust encourages people to ask questions, to follow treatment properly, to admit when they're struggling. And those things really do matter.
Yes, and if you think about building and planning, that's another fascinating example. Most people think planning is just about buildings.
I know, and this is a real bee in my bonnet, because I have to deal with planning departments quite often. But planning is actually about places. And I know there's a sort of bit of jargon about placemaking, but it's true. A housing development isn't just the bricks and mortar. It's future neighbours. It's children walking to school. It's local businesses. It's, in the end, it's about a proper community.
Yeah, and I think if planners only think in terms of housing units, density figures, traffic flow, all that kind of thing, it misses the point.
They completely miss what matters, what makes somewhere feel like home.
Exactly. Losing a local pub or library isn't just losing a building.
It's losing somewhere people meet after work, somewhere friendships are maintained, somewhere where, this is very topical in a sense, where loneliness can be reduced.
Yes.
You can't easily measure that on a spreadsheet.
Yes, and big topic at the moment, social care might be where this issue becomes most obvious. I mean, imagine two care workers. One sees a client as a budget, an assessment score and a care package. The other knows she used to be a teacher, loved gardening, is frightened of evenings because then she feels most alone in the evenings.
Yes, I mean, technically, both carers may deliver the same service, but emotionally, they're doing completely different jobs.
Yes, one's delivering tasks, the other's supporting a person. And often the measurement systems we have of those people isn't able to measure the supporting a person part, right?
Well, here's the difficult question, though, Nick. Why do organisations resist this? Surely everyone agrees caring is a good thing.
Yeah, but I think it's because caring appears inefficient. Listening takes time, remembering details takes effort. Building relationships doesn't just happen in a 15-minute visit. It can't be rushed.
Yes, I know. This is, of course, we're in a society of metrics, aren't we? Whereas processing a form, that's measurable.
Exactly. Targets are measurable. Waiting times are measurable. Number of completed assessments, they're measurable. Compassion, much harder. I came across a personal experience of an elderly relative who was in a care home. The CQC came in, told them their record keeping wasn't good enough, came in again, said, oh no, we're rating you as poor now, and then said, you're going to have to find new management because they hadn't dealt with it. Okay, they should have dealt with the record keeping, but in fact, the standard of care in that home was the best care that elderly relative had during her time in residential care.
It's interesting. It creates a sort of strange paradox. We've become brilliant at measuring activity. There's nothing we can't measure,
yes.
but not necessarily measuring success, what really works.
Yeah, there's a story that really illustrates this. Someone once challenged an administrator about a process that was convenient for the organisation, but made life much harder for students. The response? The system doesn't allow that.
Well, I actually remember this happening to me. We had a committee meeting and we were going to, it was about students handing in assignments at lunchtime, right. And how they would put them on the system. And I just remember an administrator saying, well, what you're proposing, Tim, the system won't allow that. And I did rather show my colours because I said, look, who are we here to serve? Are we here to serve the system or are we here to serve the students?
Yeah, and you know, that sort of the system doesn't allow that is such an interesting sentence, because systems aren't actually laws of nature. People actually design them. We can redesign the system.
Absolutely. Somewhere along the line, we've started acting as though systems are in charge and people have to fit around the system. Instead, of course, what is the correct way is the other way around. Systems should be helping people, not causing
yes.
problems for them.
Yeah, and let's be fair, we're not arguing against systems. I'm actually quite a big fan of processes and procedures. Without them, we'd have inconsistency. Without standards, we'd have unfairness. Without any accountability, there'd be chaos, right?
Absolutely right. We need good systems. They should have enough flexibility in them, though, for someone to say, the person's circumstances are different. They don't fit into the system. We can accommodate them.
Yes, and good systems should support professional judgment, not replace it.
Yeah, maybe it makes them better, but a doctor, say, for example, who genuinely cares, earns a trust, and a planner who loves their city, notices things outside are amiss or whatever. A social worker who feels the weight of someone's struggle, this is really important, is often the one who does that extra mile.
Yes, it. Some people think emotional attachment makes professionals less objective, but caring isn't the opposite of professionalism. It's often what gives professionalism its purpose.
It feels sometimes as though we've spent decades admiring efficiency, ergonomics. Efficiency absolutely matters. No one wants endless delays or chaotic services. It's true.
Of course not. But efficiency becomes dangerous when it becomes the only value, because eventually you build systems that process thousands of people flawlessly, but you've made every one of them feel like a number.
Absolutely right. That's what some people call fake efficiency. Everything looks successful on paper, targets are hit, but budgets, they're okay. We reports look impressive. People leave feeling as if they've not been heard, and that carries its own cost. It's in the end, these fake systems fail.
Maybe the real question is whether our systems are efficient enough. Maybe it's whether they're human enough.
That's a very powerful question, because every application, every appointment, every assessment deserves a real life. Someone's mother, someone's son, someone's neighbour, someone who's probably having one of the hardest weeks of their life.
Yes, and if our services forget that, they stop serving people. They simply process them.
So perhaps the challenge for the future isn't building smarter systems. It's building systems that leave room for acquired wisdom, room for judgment, room for empathy, room for an individual story.
Yes, every person has one. And understanding the stories isn't an optional extra. It's part of doing the job well.
Well, I think that's probably enough for today, isn't it? I think we've hammered around this quite well. If this conversation made you think differently about the services and or the ones that you work with, we'd love to hear from your experiences, something, your anecdote. Have you ever met a professional who made you feel genuinely seen? Or have you ever found yourself trapped inside a system that couldn't see beyond the paperwork?
Yes, let us know. You can email us at podcast@mix926.com. Until next time, thanks for listening. And remember, good services don't just process people. They care for them, right, Tim?
Many thanks, Nick.